Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Ramon Riley, artist, which is a very broad term.
Yes.
But does that do it? Does that cover you? Does it say artist?
I think there's nothing better to be than an artist. So
I'm looking at your business card.
Yeah.
And it's an image.
Yes.
So pictures do speak louder than words.
Yes. I'm proud to be an artist.
So if you had to more specifically define it, would there be a subtitle to put on that?
No, I think artist does it. I think the thing about me is that, you know, the art is not necessarily the object that goes on the wall. It's the way you see the world. And so I enjoy, you know, the world as an artist does. So when I'm at a party or, you know, just walking down the street, I'm seeing the world through a creative eye and a sense of beauty and passion. And so artist is fine.
You do have a creative aura about you. I can feel the creativity. Like if I saw you walking down the street, I'm like, that guy does something. You know, I can...
You know. Well, you know, the best is when I go to a show and, you know, there's a band performing and people assume I'm in the band. And it's like, no, I'm just,
close.
I'm just in the audience.
I have a different medium in which I exercise my talent. Yeah. But see, they're there. They're in the field, you know, in the artistic field.
Yeah.
Very good. But, you know... Your expression tends to be involve a very particular region of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And that is Braddock.
Absolutely. Well, I'm born and raised in Braddock, or I was born and raised in Braddock. And for this body of work, I have spent the last, I guess, year and a half studying my hometown with fresh eyes.
So let's be Rick Seeback for a bit and give me the history of historic Braddock.
Yeah.
What is historical about Braddock? Driving in today, I saw all the signs welcoming me to historic Braddock.
Right. Well, the first steel mill in the United States is right there.
And it's still here.
And it's still here.
And that was the first.
The first in the United States. And the first Carnegie Library in the United States. It's just down the street.
Okay.
Now, the thing that I really love telling people is, you know, we think about, you know, the American dream and how many immigrants came to this country to pursue their dreams. They came to Braddock because they were pursuing that work, that opportunity. And so, you know, it is a rich history. And the thing that people don't know about Braddock, too, is it used to be the downtown Pittsburgh of Pittsburgh.
Wow.
You know, it was the happening spot. You know, there was... You know, so many stores and shopping and all this stuff down the streets, and it all led to the steel mill and the homes going up the hill. So, I mean, everything was happening here.
And then I guess that changed when the steel industry sort of
absolutely, went away. And that's the Braddock that I grew up in, and so that's kind of the story to tell is why did it go away? Why did it decline? What was it like to grow up in that environment when, you know, there's this sense of abandonment? And how do you rise out of that and have a resurgence? And that's where we are now, and that's what Braddock is seeing now.
Now, have you always lived here, or did you move away and come back?
I moved away and came back, but my heart's always here. My mother lives here. My family lives here. So I've always been coming back to Braddock. I think, seeing it from the art perspective, it actually started in this space. I came to an exhibition here at Unsmoke Systems Art Space, and there was an exhibit on the second floor. And from the second floor, the water tower of the steel mill just hits you, you know, and I had never seen it that way before. So I contacted the owner of the building, and I said, do you mind if I get on your roof? And he said, absolutely, get on the roof. You know, and I went up there, and I got a chance to see Braddock in a different scope.
And how long ago was that?
That was just about a year and a half ago.
So was it around that time that you started depicting Braddock in your artwork?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think prior to that, I was, a children's book author and illustrator.
Really?
Yes.
What's one of the names of your children's book?
Well, not published, but Man, I Hate Living in the Big City with My Mama.
Why is that not published? I would read that.
It's a fun story.
Like to see that.
Well, and it actually kind of ties to my experience with Braddock now. It's, you know, this idea of, you know, being in an environment and things happening so fast, and, you know, you're asking yourself, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? And I think, you know, growing up here, I definitely, you know, felt that way. There was just a lot happening, not all of it good at the time. And, you know, I had to find myself, find my voice. And so coincidentally, it took abandoning illustration in children's books and diving more into my abstract painter side. So,
what is it about the energy of this town that allows it to consistently be working its way into your work?
It's the giant elephant outside. It's that steel mill. No matter where you are, you know, you feel like there's this machine that's moving, this rhythm, this sense of energy, and this and the reality that, you know, the world has been impacted by what has been created there. There are buildings in Europe that have been built with Braddock steel. And, you know, just knowing that and learning that and feeling that. The thing I love too about Braddock is there is a sense of architecture and design that's not typical of, you know, what we would, you know, think of here in Pittsburgh. It's, you know, it's got an elegance and an aura to it that back then when I grew up here, I didn't understand. But the more I studied architecture, and the more I realized I have that in my own backyard. So, Braddock is special.
And there seems to be a lot happening here. There's a resurgence.
Yes.
A lot of new businesses are starting here. I think on the way in, I saw a couple new breweries happening. So Braddock's alive.
Yeah, the brew gentlemen down the street, they are actually going to be here for my show.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so they're going to be quenching some thirsts for my exhibition. And they're wonderful. They're excellent.
Beer and art. That's all you need. You know, I mean, some other things too, but that's a start.
Let's say that anyhow. Yeah.
So your work, and I've seen quite a bit of it, and you know, we'll, you know, layer some images into the video here so that our viewers can take a look at it as well. I mean, just my layman's description of it, you take what, you know, I think some would consider a typical scenic, maybe portrait, or an industrial landscape, and add an abstract element to it, you know, colors sort of overlapping it. Mm-hmm. But the scenes are primarily from Braddock.
Right.
And then it has this wild and beautiful abstract element, layered on top of it. So talk to me about the synthesis of those two art forms, really. You know, sort of the industrial landscape meets this very abstract layer.
Right. Well, let's talk about the abstract part first. I pour paint, which means I mix a bunch of color and add a ton of water, buckets of water, and I lay out the paper and I don't think about anything. And I just, you know, pour paint and I let what is going to happen with color happen. And so,
and is that the first piece of your process?
That's the first piece of the process.
Okay, so it's not the industrial drawing or artwork that comes first. It's the paint.
Yeah, I'm a lot like a lot of people when they, you know, approach art. A blank page scares me. You know, that white paper is very intimidating. So I get rid of it by adding color over top, and I don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes, you know, the colors blend in a way I could never have predicted, and they settle in a particular area. And as they're drying, which sometimes takes a week, I'm looking at it and evaluating, you know, which way is this going to be a landscape? Is this the sky? Is this the ground? Hmm. And sometimes I'll just reverse it, you know, and put what was heavy up high. And then it becomes my job to work with that and decide how much of that will I keep and how much will I paint over.
So the initial part of it is sort of left up to just how the dice fall, so to speak, how the paint splashes and waves around.
Absolutely, so yeah.
You know, from what you said, saying that a blank canvas scares you, I guess it's easy to sort of will that control over to the paint.
Right.
Which would kind of, you know, scare me if I'm a planner.
Right.
You know, I need this to go here and that to go there. So there's certainly an open-mindedness to that, I suppose.
Yeah, and you know, it's fun, too. It's physical. You know, usually I lay out a ton of paper in a room, you know, as big as I can find. And, you know, so I'm running around the room. I'm moving and I'm interacting with the, you know, and a couple of times, you know, the water will settle in a particular way and I'll slip and fall into the...
Well, that would be a good one. I want to see that piece of artwork where there's your body print laying in it. That's the one I'm going to bid on here.
Yeah, so it's a physical act. You know, it's very, very hands-on and, you know.
So then let's go to the next step, because, you know, in pouring that paint, you get a lot of, I think, smooth, mm-hmm. you know, maybe puddle-type shapes. And then the industrial landscape, mm-hmm. you know, very sharp angles, very straight lines. So where do you then go when your paint is set? What happens next?
Well, then I have to decide, is this paper that I've poured, is it a piece in itself, or does it need to be blended with another piece? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the fun is to find something so beautiful and, you know, say that's enough, and maybe I'll add a little bit here and there. And then at other times, you think, oh, I can really work with this. So, you know, there's it's a lot of study and evaluating and just appreciating the beauty that's laid out there, and then finding a way to work in the landscape. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I'm looking at my photographs. So I guess really the first part of the process is that I do have these photographs. Mm-hmm. So as I'm looking at this poured image, I'm evaluating the abstraction, and I'm imagining, well, which photograph would go good with this abstraction?
Your photographs of the town of Braddock.
Correct.
That was going to be my next question, actually. So, you know, what in the paint shape calls you to say, oh, that needs to be the corner of this street and that street?
Yeah.
But I guess, did you just sort of lay out your photos and see what speaks to you?
Absolutely. Well, you know, in the case of the pieces behind us.
Again, and these are yours. There's three. I don't know if we have them all in the shot, but
right.
This is a good example here.
Yeah, there's the statue that is out front of the Braddock Carnegie Library. And, you know, that female form with the wings is a very powerful image. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at the poured paint, sometimes water kind of spills away and it looks like the wing.
Oh.
You know, and if I can find that, and if I find that one moment, I say, here's something that I can work with. And, you know, other people may not see it because they are not living with it mm-hmm. as long as I am. But when I point it out to people before I start drawing, you know, and then I start to draw over top of it, they say, I get it now, I see it. And so it almost becomes a lesson in seeing the way I see, too.
Somebody once told me that there are no coincidences. What do you think of that?
I completely agree. Completely agree. I think that if you leave yourself open and allow the beauty and the process to take you over or take over your thoughts, all of your training comes together and it works. And you have to trust it.
Hmm. Now, rewind, because I want to write all that down and let that be my mantra. No, just let it happen. It's very good. So we are here in the Unsmoke Systems Art Space.
Yes.
In Braddock, right on the main road, where you will be having your exhibition, which will be March 27th and 28th. Just two nights to see this here.
Just two nights to see it here.
Uh-huh.
And then it moves to the Braddock Carnegie Library, where you can see it during the library hours, too.
Very good. Yeah. And yeah, 6 to 8 p.m. on both of those days. And wait, it says here the mayor will be at the reception on March 28th.
Yes, the
mayor of Braddock.
Mayor Fetterman has embraced what I've been doing and really, you know, supported my work with not just my paintings, but my work with the students and the kids in Braddock. And it's been great. It's been a great relationship.
So about how many of your works will be on display here for that?
There will be 25 paintings on display and some small pieces as well. And the work represents the grant that I have been funded by the Advancing Black Arts in Pittsburgh program, which is a partnership with the Pittsburgh Foundation and the Heinz Endowments. So that allowed me to really dive into this work and provide the beautiful framing and really put on something that's bigger than a normal art exhibition. We have a lot that's going to be happening mm-hmm. March 27th and 28th.
Now you teach art as well, is that correct?
Yes. I teach at Pine Richland High School. I've been teaching for 17 years and it's a joy. It's wonderful.
How do you teach art?
Oh, that's a difficult question.
Well, that's why I ask. I mean, it seems like there might be an easy answer, but you know, when I think of it, because everybody's talents are different, everybody's perceptions mm-hmm. are different. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody asked me right now, Brian Edward teach an art class, what do I do? Set a little bowl of fruit on the table and say, do your best.
Well,
what's your approach?
Well, I think you teach drawing and painting mm-hmm. and you know, ceramics and things like that, and you live art. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily think I teach art. They just kind of categorize it that way. I think I teach the steps that hopefully builds the students so that they start to appreciate the world the way that I do.
And I imagine that in observing them, you learn quite a bit too.
I learn something new almost every day.
Now, will some of them be exhibiting here as well at some point?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's a special program called Where I Am From, which was funded by the Pine Richland Opportunities Fund, where I had 30 students from Pine Richland together with 30 students from my alma mater, Woodland Hills. And we came to the Nia Page Community Center in Braddock, which is just down the street, and they had the mission to create paintings that were going to be in this show. So I'm going to exhibit their works in this show as well. I figured, you know, when they see their work on a wall and an audience observing their work, it's going to change them. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful experience that I wanted my students to have.
Great. And I think it'll make a nice blend here at the gallery. And now are we able to purchase these works, or is this just an exhibition?
My works will be for sale. The students' works will not be for sale. I wanted them to be able to take those and give those to their families. But yes, my works will absolutely be for sale.
How do you put a value on a piece?
Oh, well, that's a great question, because I think in a lot of ways my works are priceless to me. You know, I think there's a market that you base the work on. If you're going to different shows and you're, you know, saying to yourself, my work is approximately that same size as the person who's charging that much money, and you have to just kind of let it go.
It's got to be difficult.
It is difficult. It's difficult to say goodbye to works that I love. It is difficult.
Hmm. Well, if you happen to have to do that in the next coming weeks, congratulations and my sympathies both in one sentence there.
Yeah.
So after this exhibition, what will you be working on next? Will you continue in this same genre, the same motif?
Well, I can tell you I'm going to go bigger. I've already got the plans to do more industrial landscapes, more work based on Braddock. More large scale than what you're going to see at this show, mostly because my studio space I was in, you know, transition for a while and wasn't really able to spread out on the walls as much as I will for these next pieces. But, you know, these pieces are fairly large, and I have to remind myself of that because, you know, you know, when you start to try to put them in a car, you realize, no, these are pretty big. You know, but I want to do some bigger works now, too.
Great. And it seems that Braddock itself is providing you an endless well of inspiration. Are there other artists working to depict Braddock like this? Are there other Braddock artists?
There are a lot of artists in Braddock. There are a lot of artist studios that are in Braddock. You know, and I'm sure that a lot of them are inspired by Braddock. I really have had the luxury of, you know, kind of stepping in and not thinking about that. You know, I really wanted to channel my experiences with Braddock and talk about my home, tell the stories the way I see it, and not try to see it through other people's eyes. So when you see the work, I think the thing that will stand out to you is that I didn't choose the obvious. You know, I chose the things that were important to me as my subjects.
Now, you mentioned your studio where you do most of your work. How important is the space in which you work to producing the work itself?
Oh, I think the space is critical. You know, I had the fortune of a friend of mine, Chuck Olson. He's an artist in Indiana, PA. He was leaving the country, and he loaned me his studio.
Well, that was very nice of him.
It was wonderful, and it was wonderful because I had so much room to lay out my pieces and really see them in a way that I hadn't seen them before, because I had just bought a home, and so I had boxes everywhere, and that's what I mean by not being able to expand. So being able to take work there and, you know, spread out was critical, and I you know, was inspired to be in his space as well.
What's the greatest compliment you feel that you've received on your work?
Oh, I think the greatest compliment is when people come back.
To see it again.
To see it again. You know, you never know if the words are kind of the words of the moment. You know, I'm sure on March 27th, you know, people will say things. But I think that, you know, when they come back, or when they linger longer. So I guess to answer your question, I'm not really looking for the words. I'm looking for the action. I'm looking for their interaction with the work. You know, because truthfully, when I create the work, you have to just let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
And be proud of what you feel about the work. And then you have to observe and see if people truly are getting it and understanding it and enjoying it. On their own, without you there.
Now, do you feel that your work will always be dedicated to Braddock, or will you branch out into other subject matters?
I'll definitely branch out. I was not painting just Braddock before. I think that my sensibility as an artist is, as I was telling you earlier, very much like a jazz musician. There's a sense of improvisation to what I do, and so I try not to predict what's going to happen next. Not too much. I just told you I was going to do bigger works, but that's kind of current. As for a year from now, 2 years from now, I'm sure I'll be working in, you know, the same idea of creating pieces that represent where I am in my life. And I don't know what that means next.
Wow. Yeah. Now, if industrial landscape does appeal to you, I mean, you couldn't be in a better area of the country than Pittsburgh.
Right.
Clearly, Braddock speaks to you very loud and clear. Are there other areas of Pittsburgh and surrounding areas that really have caught your attention?
I love Pittsburgh. I love all of Pittsburgh. And truthfully, you know, the idea that I've started in Braddock is just that. It's the start. You know, my life has then expanded to more of Pittsburgh, and you know, I love the North Side. I love the you know, big parks in the North Side that are mixed in with these city buildings, and it's just unbelievable. The area near the Children's Museum, I'm very passionate about it. You know, seeing that and walking through that space, it's just a great space to be in. I love Lawrenceville. I have a studio in Lawrenceville, also at Radiant Hall, where I pour in Pittsburgh.
What do we have on the show that we're...
Terry Boyd. Terry Boyd.
Yes, yeah, with the bow and arrow.
Yes.
What's it like sharing a space with him? Like a duck and cover, right? But no, he was really interesting.
Well, Radiant Hall has been great because there are so many artists there. And I mean, as an artist, you constantly need to talk to other artists and not just live in your head. and have other opinions or inspirations.
That's a positive way to look at it, because I think it's easy to probably get really detached into your own philosophies and your own little world. So I imagine that, you know, a social situation like that is invigorating and brings a lot to the table.
Definitely. I do have to say, though, for the last couple of weeks, you know, before I was finishing the work for this show, I was kind of, you know, locked away, you know, slide some food under the door, leave me alone. But, you know, I really, you know, before that, it was great to, you know, be in that environment and get a lot of energy. Yeah.
Great. Well, I think that we will all know your name very soon. And we encourage everybody to come out and see your work, either here at Unsmoked Systems or at the Carnegie Library in Homestead. And really get to know you.
Or in Braddock.
In Braddock. It's the Carnegie Music Hall that's in Homestead.
That's in Homestead. That's a great space, too.
Yes. And we can find you online, too, correct?
Yes.
At rrileyart.com.
Yes, correct.
www in front of it, and keep up with everything that you're up to. Wonderful. Thank
Please
you for this education on all that you do.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be in the space with your work.
Well, I have a gift for you. Can I give a gift to you?
You absolutely can. Are you kidding?
Well, I wanted to give this to you. This is a picture from the Rankin Bridge of Braddock. And so for my pieces, I took a walk from the Westinghouse Bridge to the Rankin Bridge. And this was the very last photograph that was taken to inspire the painting. So I wanted you to have that, because that was the...
thank you, Ramon.
That's the end of the show.
Oh, and look, our Berg Vivant logo on there, drawn by the artist himself. Now, has this photograph made it into one of your pieces?
It has.
I've got to see it. Yes. I'm coming on the 27th, so
Please
we can
do.
Check that out.
Please
and
do.
I can kind of proudly hold this up. Like, see? That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. So I'll take a little piece of Braddock. Here. Just keep it close to my heart. Just as close as my martini.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Berg Vivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.